नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नाम्ने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणी जय श्री चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We started the fourth chapter last week. I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. If you remember, I did mention that this whole Bhagavad Gita is a one coherent conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. It is not that, Krishna says, okay, Arjuna, now we have completed till the fourth chapter. Now let us start the fifth chapter. No, it's not like that. It is one conversation and it's a coherent conversation. But just that, Srila Vyasadev has divided it into chapters based on, the change of themes. You know, wherever the theme changes from one to another, in a quite distinct fashion, Vyasadev has, ended the chapter there and started the next chapter accordingly. So, otherwise, it's like one coherent conversation that is happening between Krishna and Arjuna. If you remember, the previous chapter ended with Krishna. In the previous Krishna spoke about Nishkama Karma Yoga. How is Nishkama Karma Yoga practiced? And then he said that one who faithfully practices this teaching of mine, Shraddhavanto Nasuyanto Muchyantetepi Karma Bihi. He says that. What is the beginning? Krishna says that whoever accepts this teaching of mine with faith and follows without any envy, he will attain perfection and he will attain liberation, he says. Etvetad abhyasuyanto nanu tishtanti me matam sarvajnana vimudamstan vidhinashtan achetas. Krishna says that, but on the other hand, if someone does not follow these teachings out of envy towards my teachings, will fall down. So now, the question is, then, even though people know that there is so much benefit for following the teachings of Krishna, and there are so much problems for not following the teachings of Krishna, then why do some people, despite knowing this, do not follow the teachings? They do not follow this teachings of Krishna, or especially in this case, Nishkama Karma Yoga. Why don't they follow their Varnashrama duties properly? Krishna says that this is Arjuna, this is the problem with this is the problem of severe conditioning. When people are very severely conditioned, they cannot follow the teachings of the Vedas. Sadrisham cheshtate svasyaha prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Krishna says that, this is a problem with severe conditioning. People who may be very knowledgeable, they know what is right, what is wrong, what are the benefits of practicing, what are the dangers of not practicing, but because they have constantly from a very young age pampered their conditioning, they have always acted on the platform of raga and dvesha by pampering their likes, so therefore they have become so addicted that even though they know Prakritir jnanamanapi, they know perfectly the science of Nishkama Karma Yoga, but they cannot follow because they are victims of their own severe condition. therefore Krishna says indriyasyarthe ragadvesho vyavasthitau tayor na vasham agachet tauhyasya paripantino. Therefore my dear Arjuna, in every sense object there is this raga and dvesha. So from the beginning, don't yield to this raga and dvesha. Don't constantly act on the platform of raga and dvesha for small things. You will accept what you like and reject what you do not like. No, don't train your mind that way. I mean, you don't have to train your mind that way. That is the default setting of the mind. Don't always accept the default setting of the mind, because very soon you will find yourself completely addicted. So then when you get into that zone of addiction, then it becomes very difficult. So right from the beginning, Krishna says, train your mind to accept the teachings of the Shastras. Indriyasya indriyarthe ragadvesho vyavasthitau tayor navasham agachet tauhyasya paripantino. Don't come under the grips of that raga and dvesha. From the beginnings, for small things, your mind to accept the teachings of the Shastras, so that in the long run, you will not become so severely addicted due to your conditioning. Of course, Krishna does not elaborate on this much. So therefore, which prompts Arjuna to ask this question, that ata kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichchannapi varshneya baladivaniyod. My dear Krishna, what is it that is pushing me to perform unfavorable activities, sinful activities, even though I don't want it? Krishna says, kamayesha krodayesha rajoguna samudbhavan mahashano mahapapma vidyenamiha vairinam. So he explains that it is lust only, Arjuna, and which is out of rajoguna, which transforms eventually into krodha. And then he describes dumena vriyate vakni yatadarsho malena cha itulvena avruto garbhastata tene damavritam. You know, there are various levels of covering up lust in the beginning stages, when you are still able to access your dharma and think about dharma. That is the early stage, which is compared to a smoke covering the fire. Then when it becomes even more deep rooted, when it becomes kamat krodho bijayate krodhat bhavati sammoha, that stage it becomes even more covered, and to come back becomes all the more difficult. It's like yathadarsho malena cha, like a mist covered by dust. But when it gets even more deeper, sammoha smriti vibhrama smriti bhramshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati, at that stage it is like a womb covering the feet. At that stage it becomes practically impossible to revert back. So there are multiple levels of coverings of lust. That's what Krishna says. And then later he says, avritam gyanam etena gyanino nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya dushpurena nalena cha. He further describes lust, that how this lust is a nitya vairi. It's an lust can never be befriended. For that matter, none of anarthas can be befriended. There is no question of dovetailing anarthas. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya have to be given up. They cannot be dovetailed. So therefore, Krishna calls it nitya vairi. It's an eternal enemy. And then he says, what are the residing places of lust? He says, indriyani manobuddhi asyadishtanam uchyate eter vimohayati kaunteya jnanam avrityate hinam. So residing in senses, mind and intelligence, lust covers the knowledge. So if these are the three residing places, then where should I start attacking this lust? He says, tasmatvam indriyanyadav niyamya bharatarsham papmanam prajahihyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. He says that start with the senses, because they are the easiest. Because the mind gets its food for thought through the senses. So if you stop at the senses, then mind can be adjusted. So eventually then Krishna says, Indriyani paranyahur indriyabhya param manaha manasastu para buddher yo buddhe paratastu saha. Arjuna, understand that the soul is the controller constitutionally. The soul actually is supposed to control intelligence. Intelligence controls the mind. Mind controls senses. Senses control the sense object. So this is the hierarchy. Therefore, evam buddhehe param buddhvamstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatru mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. Therefore, understand Arjuna that the soul is most of all. Therefore, understanding the superiority of the soul, you cannot control the soul through any other process. You have to fix the soul according to, by the soul only. Engage the soul in proper practice. So in this way, he ended the portion by this discussion on lust. But the generic discussion of the third chapter was about Nishkama Karma Yoga. Perform your Varnashram duties with detachment so that your heart can become purified and you become qualified for Jnana Yoga. And when you become qualified for Jnana Yoga, you can meditate on Brahman and achieve liberty. So this is the essential teaching. But then the greatest obstacle for a Nishkama Karma Yogi is his cunning, which when it becomes very severe, then he will become completely incapable of acting on the platform of dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam. He cannot consider dharma and adharma. He is helplessly pushed and tossed along the platform of raga and dvesha. Therefore, Krishna says, from the beginning, be careful. Once you come to the level of addiction, then no one can save you. Before you reach that level of addiction, save yourself. Train yourself to act according to the teachings of the Shastras. And then he talks about this whole lust, how it begins in a very benign way, but then eventually it becomes, it makes a person completely addicted. And how one can overcome this lust, he explains this. That's where the third chapter ended. But as we discussed, it's one coherent discussion, right? So, so Krishna says, by the way, I spoke to you about lust, but essentially I've spoken to you about this Nishkama Karma Yoga, right, Arjuna? So he says, you know, this knowledge that I have taught you about this Nishkama Karma Yoga, I have taught this to Vivaswan also, the sun god. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivaswan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. So he says that I spoke this knowledge to Vivaswan. Vivaswan spoke it to Vaivasvata Manu, and Vaivasvata Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. So he says that in this knowledge was received by the saintly kings through this parampara. But sakale neha mahata yogo nashta parantapa. But by the influence of mahata kalena, by the influence of this powerful time, this disciplic succession was broken. Sayevayam mayatedya yoga prakta puratanaha bhaktosimme sakacheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam. So, and now I want to revive this parampara, Arjuna, through you. I want to teach this knowledge to you. But I have chosen you because you are my devotee and you are my friend. So Krishna chooses only such personalities to revive a parampara. So Krishna says, I am choosing you, Arjuna. Since you are my devotee and my friend, I have spoken this yoga, which is the ultimate secret unto you today. I have spoken to you about this principle of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So at this point of time, even though Arjuna and he knows everything about Krishna, but Arjuna knows that Krishna will not, unprompted, without any reason, speak about his own glories. That is Krishna's nature. No one wants to, I mean, of course, no gentleman wants to blow his own bugle, as they say. So Krishna, Arjuna wants to put Krishna in a spot where he is forced to speak about himself. So Arjuna here, according to Srila Baladeva Vidya Bhushan, is feigning ignorance. He is not actually ignorant, but he is asking as if he is ignorant. So Arjuna says, Aparam bhavato param janma vivasvatah katam etad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavan iti. So he says, my dear Krishna, you and I are same, you know, both of us are of the stage. And Vivaswan appeared much before us. And in this lifetime, I don't ever remember you approaching Vivaswan to teach this subject matter. So how am I to understand that you spoke this yoga in the very beginning to Vivaswan? Okay, and you are talking about Manu, Ikshvaku, and they lived much before us. How am I to understand that you only spoke this knowledge to Vivaswan? You know, it's very difficult for me to understand. So, Krishna says, Bahuni me. So, starting from this verse, Krishna speaks about his own Janma Rahasya, Janma Karma Rahasya. The very very confidential nature of his birth activities. So Krishna says, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna tanyaham sarvani natvam vetta parantapa. So he says, my dear Arjuna, you and I have gone through many, many births. Tani sarvani aham veda. I know all these. I know of all those births, natvam veta, but you do not know, O Parantapa, O afflictor of enemies. So, very important point Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentions here, that the Lord explains that he instructs through the agency of his avatars. Okay. So when Krishna says, I instructed Vivaswan, it was not Krishna did not instruct Vivaswan as Krishna. Through one of his avatars, Krishna instructed Vivaswan. But because Krishna is the avatari, he is the Amshi, and all the avatars are Amsha. Therefore, it is not inappropriate for Krishna to say, Bahuni me vyatitani janma, or it is not inappropriate to say, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshoye Pravit. It is not inappropriate for Krishna to say, I taught this science to Vivasvan. Even though it was not Krishna who taught, it was one of Krishna's Amsha. But as the Amshi can claim complete control over his Amsha, therefore it is not inappropriate for Krishna to say, I taught this to Vivasvan. I appear as various avatars and you also appear as my companion at that time. And since I am omniscient, being the Supreme Lord, I know of all those births. But you do not know, not because you are an ordinary conditioned soul, Arjuna, you do not know because I purposefully and personally cover that knowledge of yours for the purpose of my pastimes. So that the pastime can happen. So that you can ask this question to me. So that Bhagavad Gita can come out. So I cover this knowledge of yours. Otherwise, as a Nitya Siddha, you know, you are capable of remembering. But I cover that knowledge through my Yoga Maya potency. Prate artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chan tad vidyad atmano maya mitabhaso yatatamah. So, yoga, just like Mahamaya covers the living entity's knowledge, the living entity's memory of everything, favorable for self-realization, unless the living entity becomes interested in that. Similarly, Yogamaya also, in order to assist Krishna in his pastimes, sometimes or many times covers proper knowledge from the pure devotees. So Arjuna is not a conditioned soul. Arjuna is a perfected devotee. So therefore, it is Yogamaya, under the direct desire of Krishna, personally covers Arjuna of the remembrance of the various births of Arjuna along with Krishna. At other times, Arjuna may remember also. But right now, during this particular state, Krishna has covered it so that Arjuna is forced to ask this question. This is Vishwanatha Chakravarti's explanation. Baldadya Bhushan says that, Arjuna definitely knows the nature of the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, but still, in order to instill faith in others, Arjuna is asking this question, like that he explains. So he says, with this knowledge covered, when this knowledge of yours is covered by my Yoga Maya potency, you afflict the enemies by thinking yourself as the son of a Kshatriya in this life. So you think you are a Kshatriya like that, and then you start acting. Then he discusses this verse of, okay, we did not complete this verse. Then this is a very, very foundational verse, very one of the most important verses of this chapter, where Krishna is speaking about his Janmarahya. And of all the verses that he speaks describing his Janma Rahasya, this verse is the most pivotal verse. Okay. We will again go through this verse, because we just touched upon this verse last time. We will again discuss this verse in a bit more detail. I will assume that we have not seen this verse. We will again see this verse today. But before we start today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, based on what we have discussed last week, whatever I have summarized today, if there is anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. Anything anyone would like to ask, share? Okay. Last week, Lokanath Prabhu had asked this question: what is the source of this verse, Janmana Jayate Shudra Samskaratu Bhaved Vija? Actually, I didn't know, so I did a small research to find out what is the source of this verse, because this is quoted by Srila Prabhupada and the Purvacharyas. So someone apparently challenged and said that no such verse in the Vedic scriptures. So I purposefully tried to search non-ISKCON sources to find out the source of this verse, just to see if there is any person or people who have quoted this verse, and if they have ascribed any source to this verse. I found out multiple sources, multiple people who were not at all connected to ISKCON. And this verse is actually from Skanda Purana. This is volume 18, book number 6. This is called, the section is called as Nagar Kandha. And chapter is 239, verse number 31. And they have that whole section, at least that one particular section, they have scanned that book and they printed it also. I mean, they have posted it in the internet also. So it is a bona fide verse. So there is, and it's not that only ISKCON people quote this verse. This is popularly understood and accepted in outside ISKCON also. Of course, I had not much of outside ISKCON katha, because generally it is not very good to hear without understanding their proper, whether they are properly connected to parampara or not. And we have a very short lifetime to keep searching here and there. If we have some faith in our acharyas, then we don't search elsewhere. That is what actually we learn from other sampradayas. If you see all the sampradayas, the sampradaya, fixed up devotees in any sampradaya, one of the most prominent qualities that you see in them is chastity to their own acharyas. That is very strongly seen in them. Chastity to their own acharyas, they don't search elsewhere. So that is a very, very important quality. So, I mean, of course, provided you have faith in your acharyas. But if you have not yet developed faith in your acharyas, you are free to search everywhere. But once someone gets faith that, yes, Prabhupada is not here to cheat me, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is not here to cheat me, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is not here to cheat me, Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, and the disciplic line till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are not here to cheat me, they are here to help me overcome my anarthas and achieve Krishna Prem. As long as one has this faith, then ideally one should not be searching elsewhere, because first thing, the elsewhere people, we do not know how bona fide they are. And even if they are bona fide, their goal may be different. Their goal may not be Krishna Prem. So therefore, it is not very... it is not very... So if we have two people, one, Srila Prabhupada saying, he is quoting this, and then there is another person who says there is this verse is not there anywhere, then we have a choice. Whom do we choose to accept as bona fide, authentic? So it is up to us. Wherever we have our faith, we can accept. But better accept one person and follow them rather than searching at 100 places. So then, it is like, if at a particular place, water is available at 100 feet down. So then, you have to dig 100 feet at one place only. You cannot say, I will dig 10 feet here, 10 feet there, 10 feet there, 10 feet there. At 10 places, you dig 10 feet and say, dug 100 feet. And then you say that, oh, there is no water, I have dug 100 feet. The point is, we have to learn to dig at one place. And we have to have the patience to dig till 100 feet. So if water is there at 100 feet, then at 50 feet, 60 feet, you will not get any water. So we have to utsahan nisat dhairyat. You know, we have to have the patience to dig at one place till 100 feet. But if at 10 places we feel we 10 feet, we will not get water actually. So therefore, actually it is very important. Good. One need not accept a particular acharya till one gets perfect faith. But after one gets proper faith, one should not be searching elsewhere. So that is very important actually. So therefore, I, as I searched for especially non-ISKCON sources because the allegation is against the ISKCON devotees only, that this verse has, this is not there in any of the Vedic scriptures. Actually, no one can say like that, because I don't think anyone here can claim that they have read all the scriptures. So that is because a lot of it is not available only. So even Ramanujacharya in those days, he had to go all the way from South India to Kashmir to study. That was the only place in which the book Bodhayana Vritti was available. Randomly when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was roaming around South India, somehow or other he came across Brahma Samhita at Adhikeshav Temple. So, and even till date, it has been more than 500 years since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found Brahma Samhita in Keshav Temple. Still, the other Sampradaya people do not know what is Brahma Samhita only. So therefore, if someone says one thing, if someone says this verse is not there in any of the Vedic literatures, we should not believe such people. Why? Because no one can claim I have studied all the Vedic literatures. No one can claim that. In fact, and even if someone reads, but they cannot understand the essence of the Shastra. Even the Lord says, even in second canto it is mentioned, Bhagavan Brahma Katsnena Triranviksha Manishaya Tadadyavasyatasto Ratir Atmanyato Bhavet. He says that even the Supreme Lord himself he studied the Shastras three times, all the Shastras three times to perfectly ascertain what is the conclusion of the Shastra. Of the Shastra Krishna Prema. That is the ultimate goal. And the means of and the highest or the greatest sadhana is that which leads to Krishna Prema, which is sadhana. So therefore, I would really think it's very audacious on anyone's part, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, to claim that a particular verse is not found in any of the Shastras. I mean, this is very, I would say this is, no one has that kind of memory where they can say, I have studied all the Shastras and I have never come across this verse. You know, this is, I mean, one can say that I have never come across it. I don't know which Shastra it is from. That is perfectly fine. But someone cannot say that a particular verse is not there in any of the Shastras. I mean, first thing I would do is I will not believe such a person. Anyways, anything else anyone would like to share as add? There is one question in the chat box. What is the reason the fourth chapter is titled as Transcendental Knowledge? It's because it has the knowledge of Krishna. This has the knowledge of the Janma Karma Rahasya of Krishna. The knowledge of the Janma and Karma Rahasya of Krishna. That is one of the reasons why this is called as Transcendental Knowledge. Another reason is that how this chapter explains how in the practice of karma, when properly practiced, jnana is embedded in karma. How karma naturally leads to jnana. Yeah. And when properly practiced with detachment, how karma naturally leads to jnana. So that is another reason why this chapter is titled as Transcendental Knowledge. Anything else anyone would like to share as add? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So we will start with this verse. I would assume, let me assume that we have not covered this verse at all. So here, Krishna says, he's talking about, I said that this whole section talks about the very esoteric nature of Krishna's birth and activities. And even amongst all verses which come in this section, this verse is the most pivotal verse actually. This is the most pivotal verse. Most commented upon verse also. That is why it has been very elaborately commented by all the acharyas. So let us try to understand this verse very clearly. Because when Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti vataha yaktva deham punarjanma naiti mameti sorjana. In 4.9, Krishna is going to quote this verse. So this is when Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam. In this way, when one understands that my birth and activities are very transcendental. In truth, he says. So, what is that such a mystic nature of Krishna's birth and activities? This one particular verse is the pivotal verse which actually establishes that mystic nature of Krishna's birth and activities. So here, Krishna says, we will chant the verse and we will see the meaning. Ajopisan vyayatma bhutanam ishvaropisan prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. Ajopisan. Ajopisan means even though I am unborn. Bhutanam ishvaropisan, and even though I am the Lord of all entities, avyaya atma. Avyaya, vyaya means to dwindle, to degenerate, like our bodies degenerate. Our atma means body in this context. Of course, atma means multiple things in this context. Atma means body. So we have a vyayatma. We have a body with degenerates. Idam shariram parinama peshalam patatyavashyam shatachandi jarjaram kimaushadam pritchasi mooda durmate niramayam krishna rasayanam piba, as King Kulashekar says in his Mukundamala Stotra. Idam shariram parinama peshalam, that is the nature of our body. I mean, you all are doctors, you know this much better than me. Idam shariram parinama peshalam. There is constant degeneration of this body. Patatyavashyam. And at some point, you know, it will definitely fall down. So, especially someone like Shyamalal Prabhu knows this all the more, because, you know, he is in that, you know, serving in the ICU all the time, you know. So, this is a day in and day out observation. Idam shariram parinama peshalam patatyavashyam shata sandhi jarjaram. And when one becomes old, you know, due to rheumatism and other such problems, you know, the joints and other such become very, very decrepit and painful. Kimaushadam prachasi mooda durmate. What kind of medicine are you looking for? Whatever medicine you take, nature of the body cannot be changed. But there is one prophylactic medicine. Prophylactic medicine means what? One medicine for all, broad spectrum antibiotic. What is that? Niramayam Krishna Rasayanam Piba. Niramayam. Amaya means disease. Niramayam, which will make you disease free. What disease free? Bhava rog. It will make you escape bhava rog. Krishna rasayanam piba. So if we take shelter of Krishna, still our body will remain Vyayatma only. The soul will escape birth and death. The soul will no longer get another body. The soul will no longer get another body, but the nature of the body will not change. Material body is Vyayatma. But Krishna's body is Avyayatma. It is an imperishable body. So, Ajopisan, Avyayatma, Bhutanam, Ishwaropisan, Prakritim Swam Adishtaya Sambhavami. So, Krishna says, I appear with my own body. Swam Prakritim. When we accept a body, so Krishna is presenting the nature of his birth. Why is it that the Shastras say Krishna is unborn when Krishna is very clearly known as Vasudev, Dasharati, and Aditi Suta, and Devahuti Suta. The Lord, in many of these incarnations, of course not all the incarnations, in Varaha, he is not born of anyone, any father or mother. In Narasimha, he is not born as anyone's father or mother. Not to any father or mother. Okay. But in many of the other incarnations, he actually accepts a father and mother and appears. So, Ajopisan, why is it that the Supreme Lord is called unborn, but at the same time, there are many, many shlokas glorifying Krishna's birth. We celebrate Krishna Janmashtami, Rama Navami, Varaha Dwadasi, Vamana Dwadashi, Narasimha Chaturdashi, right? All these things we celebrate. But still, the Shastras say, Ajaha, Krishna is unborn. Why? Because material birth entails many qualities. First is helplessness. The spirit soul which is taking birth cannot choose its parents. But when Krishna appears, he says, Sambhavami, I appear. Krishna chooses to appear. If Krishna wants, he need not appear. The living entity has no such choice. The living entity has no such choice. Birth indicates abject helplessness, abject dependence. But when Krishna appears, it indicates supreme independence. Krishna can say Sambhavami. The living entity cannot say Sambhavami. The living entity helplessly takes birth. So, that is one difference between. So what are the qualities ascribed to birth? One quality is helplessness. That helplessness is absent in Krishna when Krishna takes birth. Another quality is lack of choice. The jiva cannot choose whom his parents, but Krishna can choose his parents. Third, when the living entity takes birth in this material world, he accepts a body which is completely different in nature to itself. So, he has a spiritual nature, Adhyatma Prakriti, whereas his body has Jada Prakriti. Okay. So, as Parikshit Maharaj also points out in the second canto, Yad Adhatu Mato Brahman Deharambhosya Dhatubihi Yadrichaya Hetunava Bhavanto janate yata. So he's asking Sukadeva Goswami, how did the spiritual soul, which is completely spirit, how did it establish a relationship with this body which is made of this dhatus, panchadhatu, bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham? How did the spiritual soul establish a relationship with establish a relationship with this body which has totally different nature? That is the nature of birth. But Krishna says, Swam Prakritim Adishtaya. So Swam Prakritim means, I appear in a body which has the same nature of myself. I am non-different from my body. But the living entity cannot say that. Krishna and Krishna's body have the same nature. They are non-different. The living entity cannot say that. So, if you look at the qualities of birth of an ordinary living entity, most of those qualities are not there when the Supreme Lord appears. So, on what basis would you call it birth? On what basis would you call it birth? There is no helplessness. There is a choice for Krishna as to whom to choose his parents. Later, Krishna will say, I decide when to come. And I know before only what I am going to do. I have planned, this is what I will do, and that's accomplished. But when living entities appear, this is not the case. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavami. Again, for the second time, Krishna uses the word sambhavami there. It indicates independence. Krishna's independence. Krishna chooses to appear. Then there are such stark differences between Krishna's birth and a living entity's birth. But there are some similarities also. Vasudeva is there, Devaki is there, and from Devaki only Krishna comes. Kaushalya is there, Dasharatha is there, from Kaushalya only Lord Ram comes. Aditi is there, Kashyapa is there, from Aditi only Vamana comes. Similarities are there. So that way you can call Vamana as Aditi Suta, Kapila as Devahuti Suta, and Lord Rama as Koshala Suta, or Dasharati, or Vasudeva, or Devaki Nandana, which indicates birth, but it is not birth. There is Bheda and there is Abheda. Achintya Bheda Abheda. It's Achintya for the living entity because there is no print. Even, you know, the most prominent gynecologist. We do have a gynecologist in this group. They cannot claim that some birth took place in their gynecology which showed these qualities. You know, there was no helplessness on the part of the child. The child told the gynecologist, wait, this is not time for me to appear. You can wait. I will come out on my own. You know, you don't have to cut the umbilical cord. I will take care of it. So, you know, that kind of, you know, I don't think, you know, Vrajarade Mataji or someone would have ever had this evidence of some child choosing that way. So, that is why the Lord is called as Aja. Because not all characteristics of a normal material birth. I'm saying material birth and not human birth because Krishna takes place in non-human species also. So, in any species that he appears, he is still Aja. because the nature of that birth is not like any other material birth. So ajopisan, but Krishna says sambhavami, I appear. So therefore both can coexist in the Supreme Lord. All kinds of contrary things, you know, whatever we saw in as the nature of Krishna's birth, these qualities cannot coexist in any jiva. But in Krishna, it can coexist. Why? Because Krishna is the reservoir of Ananta Achintya Shaktitaha, Brihad Bhagavata Amritas. He is the reservoir of unlimited achintya, inconceivable qualities, unlimited inconceivable energies. They can coexist in Krishna. Therefore, is it wrong to say that Krishna is aja, unborn? No, because he does not take birth like any ordinary living entity. Is it wrong to say that Krishna takes birth? No. It is not wrong. Krishna actually takes birth. So both can coexist in Krishna. Right. So then he says, Bhutanam Ishwarah. I am the Lord of all the Jivas. And I have an imperishable body. No living entity can claim like that. The nature of the bodies of all the living entities is Vyayatma. But when Krishna appears, he has Avyayatma. And right from the birth of Krishna, even at a time when he is being taken care of by his parent, even at that stage, he is Bhutanam Ishwaraha. He is the Lord of all the Jivas. And when Krishna appears, Swam Prakritim Adishtaya Sambhavami, I appear with my own body. And when we identify with our body, it is false ego. When Krishna identifies with his body, it is true ego. Our identification with our body will bind us to this material world. Krishna's identification with his body will liberate us from this material. What is he is always liberate. Right? And Sambhavami Atma Mayaya, another thing. I take birth by my own energy. Which means Krishna's energy runs to Krishna and facilitates Krishna's birth. But when we take birth, we don't take birth according to the according to our own energy. We don't take birth according to our own energy. We take birth according to Krishna's material energy. When Krishna takes birth according to his spiritual energy. So there is a lot of difference between Krishna's birth and our birth. So therefore, it is not inappropriate to say that Krishna is aja, he is unborn. Because nature of his little in common between it has very little in common with our birth actually. So therefore it is not inappropriate to say that Krishna is unborn, but at the same time, is he the son of Devaki? Yes. Is he the son of Vasudev? Yes. Is he the son of Nanda Maharaj? Yes. Is he the son of Yashoda? Yes. Did he take birth to Yashoda? Yes. Is he unborn? Yes. This is Divya. This is what Krishna says. Janma karma chame divyam. This is the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth. Like that. We will see some purport to this and then we will pause for some discussion points. Okay. before even we go to the purport, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion. So here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, in this verse, he describes the manner of his appearance. Even though I am without birth, I appear. I descend indicates independence. In the form of the devatas, humans and crawling animals and other forms. Devatas is Vamana, humans is Rama, Krishna, crawling animals is Kurma, other forms is Varaha, etc. But someone may say, what is so remarkable about this? The Jiva is also unborn, right? The Jiva also is Aja. You know, actually the Jiva does not take birth. He has nothing to do with body. Only out of ignorance, the Jiva identifies with the body, but otherwise the Jiva has nothing to do with the body. Asangohi ayam purushaha, the Shastras say. The Jiva is asanga. He has no sangha of this material body. So in one sense, birth does not happen to the Jiva in its constitutional state. So someone may say, what is so great about this? The Jiva is also actually without birth and is born again after the destruction of the body. So, Jiva also has the same nature. In its constitutional state, the Jiva is Aja, but in his conditioned state, he takes birth. So the Jiva is also, the Jiva takes birth, but he is without birth. So you can explain that way to the Jiva also. The Lord answers, but the Jiva does not have an Avyayatma, an indestructible body, but I have an indestructible body. The Jiva is without birth in the sense that he is a soul apart from his body. He has nothing to do with the body. In that sense, the Jiva has no birth. But he takes birth just because of this relationship with body, which produces ignorance. Or you can say, which is produced due to ignorance. He imagines a relationship with the body and identifies with the body. Okay. So when you say the Jiva is unborn, it means in his constitutional state, he is unborn. So when the soul is taken apart from his body, then he has no birth. In constitutional state, the Jiva has no birth. Okay. In ignorance, the Jiva has birth. Okay. So in this way, you can explain how the Jiva has birth and no birth. But Krishna says, no. My being unborn and born is not like that. He says, my being without birth and my taking birth are not separate from my body. It's not that Krishna having no birth is its constitutional state and in ignorance Krishna takes birth. No. Krishna not taking birth is his constitutional state. Krishna taking birth is also his constitutional state. Both can coexist in Krishna. Okay. Both my birth and my not being born are integral to my swarupa. Whereas for the Jiva, his not being born is integral to the Jiva's swarupa, but his taking birth is not integral to his swarupa. His taking birth is due to ignorance. But for Krishna, Krishna's taking birth and his not taking birth, both are integral to his Swarupa. As such a condition is difficult to occur, it is very astounding and inconceivable. So for ordinary living entities, this is very difficult to understand. Because this does not happen. Because understanding and acceptance comes with observation and experience. Because living entities have never experienced anything like this, it is beyond their conception. It is beyond their, their ability to, it is beyond their comprehension, because they have not experienced anything like this. And there is no worry that I will take birth in all sorts of wombs like the Jiva who is under the influence of Papa. And as such a condition is difficult to occur, it is certainly astounding and inconceivable. So when the Lord appears as Varaha, he is still transcendental. But when the living entity appears as a Devata, he is still not transcendental. He is still conditioned. But when the Lord appears as Varaha, he is still transcendental. He does not take birth as Varaha on the strength because of his Papa, and he does not take birth as Vamana on the strength of his Punya. Okay. So in both cases, Sambhavami, while a Devata is forced to take a Devata birth by his Punya, a pig is forced to take birth as a pig on the because of its papa. Whereas the Lord, when he takes birth as a pig or as a, he is not forced by papa and punya. There Krishna says, Sambhavami, I choose to appear. Last minute, if the Lord wants, he can choose to change his avatar also. Okay. I don't wish to take birth as a Devata. I wish to take birth as half man, half lion. No one can say no. So, like that. So, and then Krishna says, and there is no worry that I will take birth in all sorts of wombs like the Jiva who is under the influence of Papa and Punya. For I am the Lord of all the living entities, not under the control of karma. That is the meaning of Bhutanam Ishvara. Bhutanam Ishvaropisan. So Bhutanam Ishvaropisan means I am not under the control of karma. I am not under the control of karma. I am not forced by law of karma to take a particular birth. But the Jiva receives bodies of Deva, human and animal according to karma by his subtle body, which causes his bondage. You, the Supreme Lord, are without a subtle body and you are all pervading and you control karma, time and all other elements. The Shruti says, Bahusyamaha, may I become many? Eko Bahusyamaha, the one Lord desired to become many. And he became many. Jiva cannot say, Eko Bahusyamaha. I did to become many, so I am accepting many births. No Jiva can claim like that. So, from that, it is understood that you are the form of the whole universe. So, that is how Krishna can control the whole universe. When you say, I appear in this particular way, I think that must mean that your birth means simply that you are revealing to people the multitude of bodily forms throughout the universe, which are also eternal as types. Someone may say, oh, I appear in multifarious forms. What is so big deal? All Jivatmas also appear in multifarious forms. You know what? 84 lakhs different forms the living entity appears. But half man, half line is not one of them actually. There is no such form. It is unique. So, someone may say, when Krishna says, Sambhavami, I appear in this particular way, someone may say that, oh, Krishna is just telling that that various bodily forms exist throughout the universe, which are also eternal as types, you know. So there is no big deal. All living entities also take birth like that. So there is nothing special about Krishna. Someone may say like that. But here he says, but how can that be? I make my appearance situated in my own form. Swam Prakritim Adhishtaya. When Lord appears as Varaha, it is not a Varaha of this material world. That Varaha is an eternal form of the Lord in the spiritual world. So if the word Prakriti meant external material energy, then its controller, the Supreme Lord, becomes by inference a material form and not an special object of realization. Therefore, in conformity to the Amarakosha dictionary, meaning Samsiddhi Prakriti to Ime Swarupam Cha Swabhavascha, the word Prakriti means Swarupa in this verse. Swam Prakritim. So Krishna does not say Prakritim Adhishtaya Sambhavam. I take shelter of Prakriti and appear. So in that case, Prakriti can mean material energy also. So if Krishna appears taking shelter of Prakriti, material Prakriti, his form has to be material only. So if Krishna has a material form, then certainly that form cannot be a special object of realization of the yogis and jnanis and the bhaktas. Okay. So therefore, Krishna qualifies it by telling Swam Prakriti. Swam Prakriti means my own Prakriti, which means Antaranga Shakti. But material energy is his Bahiranga Shakti. So Krishna does not take a body according to the facilitation of the Bahiranga Shakti, like ordinary living entities. Krishna takes birth through the facilitation of his Antaranga Shakti. That is the meaning of Swam Prakritim Adhishtaya. It does not refer to the material energy which arises from his Swarupa. So material energy also arises from his Swarupa, but it is not integral to his Swarupa. It is external to his Swarupa. The Lord's Swarupa is Sachidananda, full of eternal spiritual knowledge and bliss. Concerning the word Prakriti, Sridhar Swami says, accepting a form which is composed of Shuddha Sattva. So Swam means Shuddha Sattva. Prakriti means form. So Swam Prakriti means a form which is composed of Shuddha Sattva. So therefore, Swam Prakritim Adhishtaya Sambhavami means by accepting a form which is made of Shuddha Sattva, I descend in this material world. Ramanujacharya says, Prakriti means one's own nature or Swabhava. So like we say, oh, this person has a Dushta, this person has a Sadhu Prakriti. So Prakriti means nature also. Like sometimes in Ayurveda also they say, what is your Prakriti? You know, I have a Pitta Prakriti, I have a Vata Prakriti, I have a Kapha Prakriti. Like that they say. So Prakriti means nature also. So Prakriti means nature. So thus the phrase means, being situated in my nature, I appear with my Swarupa by my own will. Prakritim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavami. Sambhavami means I appear by my own will. Swam means with my Swarupa. And Prakriti means situated in my own nature. my nature of being omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, omnibenevolent, possessing all the opulences. So, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya and so on. So, being situated in that nature of mine, in my own swarupa, by my own will, I appear. But when the jiva appears in the material world, he is not situated in his own nature. He is situated in his conditioned nature. And he is not appearing in his swarupa. He is appearing in a material body which he is in ignorance identifying with. And he is not appearing by his own will. He is appearing according to karma, the force of karma. So therefore, Krishna's birth and the living entity's birth is very different. In this case, Prakriti means the Lord's nature, which is condensed Satchidananda Rasa, which is distinct from material energy. The word Swam along with Prakriti thus indicates my own Swarupa, my true form. I appear in my true form. I do not accept a form which is provided to me by my material energy. For the Shruti says, Sa Bhagavaha Kasmin Pratishtitaha Swamahimni. Dear sir, in what is the supreme situated? That is the question. Sa Bhagavaha Kasmin Pratishtaha. This is the question. The answer is Swamahimni. It is situated in his own glory. Swamahimni. Swamahimni Stitasya, Bhagavatam says. What is that? Swamahimni Stitasya. There is a verse that comes. I think this comes in Kapila Dev's teachings to Mother Devahuti. Swamahimni Stitasya. Yeah. I think it comes there. Swamahimni Stitasya. Something like that. So then he says, Madhusudan Saraswati gives the following meaning. So Madhusudan Saraswati is a commentator who comes in the line of Shankaracharya. Sometimes, so one may say, oh, then why do a Vaishnava Acharya like Srila Chakravarti Thakur, why is he quoting Madhusudan Saraswati? You know why? Sometimes Vaishnava Acharya's quote commentators from the Advaitin to show, look, even an Advaitin has accepted this point to show that. Even an Advaitin has accepted this point. So under such circumstances, in order for that, sometimes they quote impersonalist commentaries also sometimes. Madhusudan Saraswati's commentary apparently for Bhagavad Gita is one of the most popular Advaitin commentaries to Bhagavad Gita. So our Acharya sometimes quote to show that even Madhusudan Saraswati has said, you see. So which means Vaishnavas should never doubt, because even Madhusudan Saraswati has accepted. And sometimes they may quote Madhusudan Saraswati and prove them also in a very logical way. Okay. If he has given Pakka Mayavadi understanding of that whole thing. Okay. So he says, Madhusudan Saraswati says, I appear situated in my Swarupa. Being situated spiritually, I act without duality of soul and body. So, for us, we are told that don't act on the bodily platform. For Krishna, there is no duality there. His body and soul is same. It's of the same nature. But then, someone may say, but if you have indestructible bodies such as Matsya or Kurma, then why do your present form and the previous forms not appear at once? If you say Your form is avyayatma. Your body does not degenerate like ordinary material bodies. Then my question to you, Krishna, is that if your Matsya form is eternal, if your Kurma form is eternal, if your Varaha form is eternal, if your Narasimha form is eternal, if your Rama form is eternal, then why at one time only one form is seen? Where are the other forms? Huh? So this question may arise. Huh? So if you say that body is eternal, avyayatma, does not disintegrate or degenerate, then why parallelly multiple forms of yourself are not seen? This is the question. So then Krishna says, so this is Madhusudan Saraswati's explanation of this. So he says, I appear through my maya coming from myself. Sambhavami atma mayaya. Thus atma maya means my own maya. So I appear through my maya coming from myself, through my yoga maya, a function of the chit shakti, which covers and reveals my swarupa. I appear revealing my present form, having covered the previous forms. So, sambhavami atma mayaya means, when I appear as Krishna, my forms of Rama, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, ityadi forms are covered by my maya. That is why even though all these forms avyayatma, they do not degenerate, they are eternal, but they are not seen. Because my yoga maya covers it. Pratyartham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyad atmanam mayam yatabaso yatavatamah. So yoga maya covers it. So when Bali Maharaj comes, when it is time for Bali Maharaj pastime, yoga maya will cover my form of Rama, Narasimha, Varaha, Matsya, etc. and manifest my Vamana form. Even though the others are there, behind the curtain of yoga maya, you cannot see. Okay. So therefore, the classic case of this is, and Krishna can choose to show two parallel forms to someone, one form to someone else, one form to someone else. Can you give an example where Krishna showed one of his form to some people and other form to other people when both forms are simultaneously there? Can you recollect? Anyone can recollect any such instance where one form was seen by one group of people, another form seen by another group of people, though both forms were simultaneously there? Anyone can tell me which episode am I talking about? Please either raise your hands or type your answer in the chat box. This is a very famous and this is very relevant to the discussion that we are having right now. So, anyone knows? You can raise your hands. Okay, I will share. No one is raising your hands and typing the answer. Okay, someone has mentioned in the chat box. Govardhan Leela. Yeah, in one sense you can say, maybe. But right here in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, right now, fourth chapter is going on. In 11th chapter, when Krishna is going to show the universal form to Arjuna, Arjuna sees the universal form. Arjuna is seeing, Vyasadeva is seeing, Sanjaya is seeing. No one else is seeing. Rest are seeing the 200 form of Krishna. And Arjuna is here pleading with the universal form. Oh Krishna, I'm sorry, I considered you as my friend and Saketi Matva Prasabam Yaduktam. And so on. And please, Shamaswa, Shamaswa, please forgive me, you know, please show me your Saumya roop. Please show me your pleasant two-handed form. Like that he prays. And whereas others are all seeing the Saumya roop only. Everyone is seeing Krishna's two-handed form. No one else is seeing the Virat roop. Right? So both forms are simultaneously present there. One form is visible to Arjuna. Another form is visible to other, the other form is visible to others. So this is possible. So Krishna says, so if someone argues that if all your forms are avyayatma, if all your forms are avyayatma, then avyaya, then how would you explain, how would you, so then why is, when you are showing your form as Krishna, why is Matsya Kurma Varaha Ityadi forms not seen? Yogamaya covers. That is the meaning of Sambhavami Atmamana. Another meaning given by Madhusudan Saraswati, which is accepted by our Vaishnava Acharyas. That's why they are quoting it here. So now, Sridhar Swami gives another slightly different understanding of Atma Maya. Sridhar Swami says, Sambhavami Atma Maya means I appear by my energy of Jnana, Bala, Virya and Virya, which strongly manifests. Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. So, Sambhavami Atmamaya means I appear by my energy of Jnana, Bala and Virya, which strongly manifest. According to Ramanuja, Atmamaya can also mean by my own knowledge. Since Maya can mean knowledge in this context, Maya Vayunam Jnanam. So, Vayunam means knowledge. Maya also, one of the meaning of Maya is knowledge. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya means I appear by my own knowledge. Whereas a living entity, when he takes birth, he does not appear according to his own knowledge. So the usage is stated, he continually knows the sin and piety of all entities by knowledge. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. When the living entity appears, he does not know even about his own past sin and piety. But when the Lord appears, he knows, I mean, he has no sin and piety, and he knows about the sin and piety of every single living entity. Therefore, Madhusudan Saraswati says, Maya means through that body that I am the Lord, Vasudev, devoid of difference between body and soul. Maya means the awareness through that body that I am the Lord, Vasudeva, devoid of difference between body and soul. That is the knowledge. So Maya means Sambhava Atma Maya means when I take birth, I am very much aware that there is no difference between my body and soul. And I am very much aware that I am the Lord, Vasudeva. Like that. Very beautiful purport. Anything anyone would like to share as add from this purport, from this verse? We have discussed a lot. I'm sure there must be something at least someone would like to share as. Anything? Okay. Then I will ask you a question. I am not going to... Okay. Yes. Chipran Prabhu.
Prabhuji, Dandat Panam, Prabhuji.
Dandat Prabhu.
So, Prabhuji, when it is very difficult to explain to those who don't have faith on the Shastras or those who are, you know... To say that Krishna is Ajanma. And for
you
us...
You are not supposed to tell them, right? Why do you to prove to them? Because it will become the ninth offense, right?
Some people may not be aware, they may not be atheists or they may not know exactly that truth.
It is not about knowing. It is not about knowing. It is not about knowing the truth. It is about whether they have faith in the pramana which is speaking the truth. Correct? It is about having faith in the pramana which is presenting the truth. Otherwise, if you get a medical degree from India, why is that degree not as it is valid in the United States? Let's say you get an MBBS degree or an MD degree from India. Why is it not as it is accepted, even though you have a certificate? Why is it not accepted in the United States? Did you know that it is not accepted as it is in the United States? Why?
Yes, please.
Why? I'm asking you. Why? Because they don't have faith.
Yes.
So therefore, they will conduct their own entrance exam. You have to pass that entrance exam and then they will accept it. Correct, ma'am. So yes. It is not a question of someone not possessing knowledge. The more fundamental question is, your source of knowledge from you going to give them that knowledge, do they have faith in that source of knowledge? Otherwise, you may quote left, right, center, but if they don't have faith in that source of knowledge, how that knowledge get imparted to that person? So therefore, if someone has no faith in Shastras, how am I going to explain? First thing, you are not supposed to explain to them. Then it becomes the ninth offense. What you're supposed to do is to help them develop faith in Shastras. But of course, that's not a very easy thing. You have to just give them an opportunity to accumulate some Agyata Suprati so that really they may develop faith in the Shastras.
The faith we are talking about, it is a complete faith, Prabhuji? We still like the faith,
even,
maybe the level of faith.
Faith is okay. Even preliminary faith is okay.
Yeah.
Without knowing much about what is there, they may know that, okay, Bhagavad Gita, agar Bhagavad Gita aise bol raha hai, they say, acha, Bhagavad Gita hai kya? Toh, theek hai. So which means they don't know what is there in Bhagavad Gita, but at least they have the faith that Bhagavad Gita mein bola hai, toh sahi hoga na. Even that faith is good enough. But if they say, oh, Bhagavad Gita says this, so what? I have not seen it. So if they claim like that, then you cannot, how can I explain to him? So you cannot explain and you should not be explaining also. Is it okay, bro?
Yes, bro. Yes. Thank you.
Right. Shyamlal, bro.
So, Prabhuji, we say that the Lord is appearing through His internal potency at His own will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at the same time, the Shastras, they predict the appearance of the Lord. He is three.
Because
Yuga,
the Lord only wrote the Shastras.
Yeah. But at the same, again, it appears as though the Lord is bound by time. Because predict hoke aa raha hai na. If he is...
if I say, Shyamlal Prabhu says that, Prabhuji, aap 6 baje OPD mein aa jao, main rahunga. And then Shyamlal Prabhu comes exactly at 6 o'clock for the OPD. So, can I say that Shyamlal Prabhu is bound by time? I mean, no, you only decide that you will come at that particular time and you chose to come. So Krishna says, Kalosmi Loka Kshayakrit Pravruddho. So Krishna says, I am time. Time is one of my energies. So, and Krishna says, Vedantakrit Vedaviteva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedas. So Krishna only predicts, I will come at this time. And then he comes. That does not mean he is bound by time. It looks like that. It is not true. Because time is one of his energies. how can his own energy control him? So it's like that, but it is not like that actually.
Okay.
Is that relevant to?
Okay. Hey, just that these are doubts which normally when you are preaching,
yeah,
these questions come up.
Correct. So that's why I'm telling. I mean, Krishna only predicted. Krishna only says, I will come. So Krishna comes. So therefore, if someone else had predicted Krishna will come, and if Krishna comes, then Krishna is bound by time. But Krishna is only time. Krishna's own energy. So if Krishna decides that I will come at this time, that does not mean time is controlling him. He only decided the time.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right, Prabhu. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you,
Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Okay, so I think we will pause here. No, before anyone solve, this is as I mentioned, in this whole chapter, this one purport is a very, very pivotal purport, very pivotal commentary. I am requesting you, would anyone of you like to volunteer to summarize what we have discussed today, next Friday? You know, we have discussed just this one purport, you know. You don't have to say everything, but in essence, would anyone would like to volunteer to summarize this purport? Yes, Sachipran Prabhu has very kindly raised his hands. So Sachipran Prabhu, don't worry, I will help with you. I will send you 2 or 3 reminders during the week, and so you please prepare and come and give a nice summary of the purport. So, and then we will take the discussion forward from there next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. So we will meet again next Friday, Krishna willing. So thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.